not quite the end, but towards the end. And the reason I picked these psukim specifically, again, we skipped over a very famous pasuk, Hineh Mitzvah V'Torah Or, which we'll do B'li Neder Be'ezus Hashem, is because this is very much connected to the parsha of Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. Yesterday, and it's on Kol HaLoshon if you want to hear it in Yiddish, I gave a shiur in Borough Park, where I mentioned a number of the medrashim and we went through them. But I wanted to go through some of the psukim before we even begin the Mishle and emphasize the Pirush Rashi. So everybody knows that Yosef is taken out of the bar and they sell him, and eventually he comes to the attention of Potiphar, Sris Paro Sar HaTabochim, whatever that particular role was. Obviously he's a wealthy and very important person in Mitzrayim. So the beginning of the ascent of Yosef, which requires actually that he should have this crisis and thrown again, this time into a dungeon of the prison of Paro. So the parsha begins, Yosef Hurad Mitzroimo, Vayikneu, Potiphar, Sris Paro, Sar HaTabochim, Ishritzvi, Yada Yishma'elim, Ashoho, Yiduhu Shom. Vayishi, Vayhi Hashem, Es Yosef, Vayhi Ish Matzliach, Vayhi Beveis Adonov HaMitzri. So the important Nakuda here is not only his Hatzlocha, but that his Hatzlocha keeps him as a master of the entire home, of the entire household. Bayar Adonov ki Hashem ito, v'chol asher olseh Hashem matzliach biyado. V'yimtza Yosef chein be'enov, v'yoshes oso v'yifkideyu al beiso v'chol yeshlo nosan biyado. A very interesting combination of psukim, by the way. The first pasuk seems to be very objective. You see that Yosef has tremendous talents, and he's extremely capable, that it's the understanding even of a Potiphar that the Ribbono Shalom is with him. He has this divine assistance. And then the next pasuk says that he had chein in the eyes of his master. Now chein is subjective. You know the Goyin himself, actually in Mishle, in Eishes Chayil Sheker HaChein VeHevel HaYofi. Why is chein described as sheker? Because it's not really there. The objective standard might be that this person is not attractive. But for some reason, my father tells me, that in the yeshivas, they were in the spoil once, the best boy in the yeshiva whom they were actually reading shaduchim to, which was rare in those days, but they were reading him shaduchim, all kinds of choshuva, rabbanim's daughters, very accomplished and everything. He ended up marrying a girl who was a hunchback, and no one could figure out what he saw in her. It's a chesant nezach, you know, the chein. Chein is a... So that's sheker. And yoifi, which is true, because it's objective, but it's hevel. It's not important unless it's combined with isha yiras Hashem. So here you have two psukim that have the objective first, and afal pi kein this objective. Vice dice, that without that chein, it would still be missing the nekuda that ironically allows for the nisayon. So that's what the pasuk is saying. Vayimtza Yosef chein be'enov, vayoshes vayishores also, vayafgideyu al beiso v'chol yeshlo nosan biyado. That last point, kol yeshlo nosan biyado, was beyond the objective evaluation of Yosef's hatzlocha. It requires the chein, because chein puts a person to sleep, as it were. Chein is that extra measure of trust, that extra measure of confidence, which may or may not be justified. Or, to put it a little bit differently, which blinds you even to the possibility of Yosef being a person who could cause him any form of harm. So in other words, the amount of extra trust this pasuk is telling me comes as a result of chein. Vayhi may ozit kido so beveso al kol asher yeshlo. Vayivorach Hashem es beis hamitzri biglal Yosef. Vayhi birkas Hashem b'chol asher yeshlo b'bayis u'basoda. again, I think, trying to emphasize that it increased the ability of Yosef to be the authority over every aspect of Potiphar's life. And the next pasuk says it explicitly. Vayazov kol ashalo biyad Yosef. V'lo yada ito me'uma ki im halechem ashehu ochel. And of course, the end of the pasuk happens to be Shishi, so the Bal Koire always ends with that, and it remains in people's minds. Vayhi Yosef yifei soar v'yifei mar'eh. It's a very interesting conclusion, which would otherwise not make, we wouldn't understand, would not make any sense. What is the hemshech of the first half of the pasuk to the second, except the continuation, of course, of the sipur of Eshes Potiphar. So vayazoy v'skol ashalo, so says Rashi, v'lo yoda ito ma'uma, v'hoya nosein libo l'klum. In other words, there's a certain moment where he trusts Yosef to such an extent and entrusts Yosef with so much that basically Potiphar is free to go off into the sunset. V'lo yoda ito ma'uma ki im halechem, hi ishto, elo shediber b'losho nikiyo. Vahi Yosef Yifei Toah. So here's an incredible chazal. Chazal is based on a medrash. A medrash in Breishis Rabbah. Kivin Shavua Atzmai Moshel, Hischil Oichel Vishoise Umisalsal Besare. What it means basically is that until that moment, the crisis in Yosef's life, which started with the brothers Vloyochu Dabri L'Sholem, and then it put him into the pit, took him out of the pit and sold him to the Yishmael, and Yishmaelim sell him to the base Potiphar. All that time, Yosef is in a moment of terrible crisis from beginning to end. Now that crisis is over. Yosef sees himself now as the Ishmatzliach, and Memela, he begins to live the normal life. It's interesting. Until that point, he had a sense of anxiety, that moment of crisis. Now he's Oichel, and also the Lashonis are fascinating, the Rashi. Oichel v'shoise u'misalsal b'sayre. Now we know that Yosef is described as misalsal b'sayre much earlier. But now he's back to being misalsal b'sayre. Now what is the nature of misalsal b'sayre to a tzaddik is very interesting. There's a certain sense of the, I guess, the kavod ha'adam. He preened himself because he was yifei soar v'yifei mar'eh. So comes along the Ribbono Shel Olam, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avicha Misabel. Very interesting taina here. You have to be very medactic. V'ata misalsal b'sarcha, ani megareh b'cha es hadoiv. There's something very fascinating about the notion that Yosef needs to see his father to save himself from that doiv. Megareh b'cha es hadoiv is an expression. I'm going to put the bear on you. I'm going to sick the bear on you. In other words, you think that everything is calm, everything is back to normal. How could you think that everything is back to normal? What's the taina against Yosef? Avicha misabel. Now here you have a very, very remarkable question that begins now and continues for a very long time. Being that he was now Moshe b'chol asher l'Potiphar, and Potiphar certainly had access to communication, to people traveling back and forth, there's no shaila that he could have sent a message to his father that he is alive. And that's part of the taina of Avicha Misabel. You know that your father is distraught, and you know that your father thinks you're dead, or something terrible and catastrophic has happened to you in any case. And who knows what the brothers told him? So why don't you get a message to him immediately? And instead, it's almost like an amnesia seized him. He has a new home, a new place, a new life, and everything is Shalom al Yisrael. So all of this is interconnected. Megara ni b'chayas hadov. Megara ni b'chayas hadov is two nisyonos, two inyonim. Number one, his tranquility is completely shattered. Because he goes me'igra rama labira mikto, literally. He goes into the dungeon from this maisa. And it's also shattered in the sense that Yosef now has been tested. Is he the Yosef HaTzadik? Is he the Yosef who is the son of Yisrael? Avicha misabe v'ata misalsel b'sarcha ani megare b'choes hadov miyad v'hi achar dvorim ha'ele v'tisa eshes adonov v'seineho el Yosef. Very interesting. Normally, achar dvorim ha'ele is that when there's an episode, there's a story. There's no story here. And on the contrary, it's describing that Yosef was very matzliach and describing Yosef's relationship to Potiphar and the management and control they had over the household. So the achar dvorim ma'ele, the Medrash understands, is if they started being misalsel b'sarcha all over again. In other words, when the calm ensued, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's megaris hadov, v'tisa eshes adonov v'seineho el Yosef, v'toymer shichva imi. Rashi says, v'tisa eshes adonov kol mokum shenemar. It says achar. Achar hadvar, right? Kol mokum shenemar achar somuch. It means it's connected. So that's what we said. Batisa Eshes Adonov, and she says Shichva Imi. Vayimoe. You know very well that there is a Shalshelis on Vayimoe. There's a lot of dwelling on the Vayimoe by the Balkoire. So there's a lot in that Vayimoe. Namely, you can just pick yourself up and you can walk away. He's Masbir, and he says as follows. This is the Vayimoe. Vayomer Elishas Adonov, Hein Adoni lo yoda iti ma babois. V'chol asher yeshlo nosan biyodi. Einenu gadol babayis hazeh mimeni, v'lo chasach mimeni meuma ki imosoch ba'asher at ishto. V'eich e'eseho ro'o hagdolo hazos, v'chotosi le'elokim. And Rashi adds, interestingly enough, v'chotosi le'elokim, b'nei Noach nitztavu al ha'arayos. So Be'emes, it's very interesting. Bnei Noach are also nitztava al hagezel. Pasuk says, ki mola ha'aretz chomos mipneihem. And the inyan of the chatoim that the Dor HaMabul did, that deserved the Mabul, are understood as chatoim of the nature of Arayus. So chomos is gezel, and this is Arayus. So which is it? So the answer is that every Arayus basically is a form of Gezel. Because if Hashem says no, then it's Gezel. Just like when a person doesn't make a bracha, it's Gezel. Because until the bracha is made, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody doesn't allow you and you take it anyhow, it's Gezel. Somebody's married and you take away his wife, the first thing you're doing is Gezel. I want to make a clear point. This has nothing to do with consensual relations. You can have the wife be maskim, the wife can even be taiveya, it's still gezel. Because the wife can't break the bond of the ishus that was created between her and her true husband. So even if she runs away, she cannot therefore break the gezel shabai. So the first and foremost taina, l'cha'ira, should have been gezel. I think that in this particular instance, what I'm driving at is, Bnei Noach are not only Nitztaval Arayas, they're also Nitztaval HaGezel. But the Gezel part of it is a different dimension in the Pasuk. And that is because everything that Yosef is being challenged now. The Arayas is a separate Nekuda, the first and foremost Nekuda, but it's not Gezel in the Isur of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Nayach. That's an Aveira. Here you're talking about trust and the obliteration of trust. In other words, it's impossible for me to violate the trust when the trust is so great. Because then who am I? What kind of a person am I? That's really the first and foremost argument. Einenu gadol babayis hazeh mimeni v'lo chasach mimeni me'uma. Ve'eich e'eseh ho'ro'o ha'gadol ha'azos kama v'chotosi le'elokim. Which I find to be absolutely fascinating in terms of a general sense of a person in the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you know, realm. So it would seem to me that if you take the Goyin himself had this tripartite categorization, which is different in our usual sense that we learned from childhood, Bein Adam LaMokom, Bein Adam LaChavero. So he has says, Bein Adam LaMokom, Bein Adam LaChavero, Bein Adam LaAtzmo. It would seem to me that sometimes you can look at something exclusively Bein Adam LaMokom, and you're missing the component or the dimension of the Bein Adam LaAtzmo. And that's the critical chiluk between seeing Yosef as being a gazlan, or seeing Yosef violating Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach and being a gazlan, or seeing Yosef as violating Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach of Arayis. So that's Bein Adam LaMokom. Or it's Bein Adam LaChaveroi. But there's a Fadorbenkeit, the Yiddish word, there's a total corruption of Yosef, not because of the Arayis, and not even because of the Gezel. Because sometimes you want something bad enough. It's like the Koyach HaTavoni and the Koyach HaKasoni. There's certain... But when a person breaks an absolute trust, he is corrupting his very essence. And that, for Yosef, seems to be more essential. And the V'chotasil Elokim comes second. So Rashi adds, because what's the V'chotasil Elokim? Because it happens to be Arayis. V'hi kedabro el Yosef yom yom, v'lo shama eleho lishkav etzlo liyosima. So we have here a question. How is it that he can speak to her and have conversations with her? So the Teretz says she sought him out constantly. She was always looking for opportunities to confront him. So kedabro el Yosef yom yom v'lo shoma eleo, nevertheless he doesn't listen. L'shkavetz lo liyosimo. We'll soon see the Medrashim. But Rashi says, of course, l'shkavetz lo, even without Tashmish, she tried to entice him by telling him that this is not so terrible. We'll just have a little bit of a good time together. We'll drink a little chayim together. But we won't do anything really wrong. L'shkavetz lo. Liyosima also doesn't refer to the physical relations themselves. Liyosima la'olam haba. In other words, the pit that I dig for myself down here has incredible consequences forever and ever. I don't want to be with you for the rest of my eternal existence. L'shkavetz lo liyosima. So this is what's happening on a daily basis. It doesn't say for how long. It just says yoim yoim. So there's a background. This isn't a one-time thing. It's not pshat that he was suddenly trapped by her in the room and she grabs his coat. Vayhi kehayom hazeh. But there was one specific day. Zokt the medrash. What is kehayom hazeh? The Pashup Shadis Kayom Azeh means the day that this following episode occurred, that was the critical moment between the two of them. But the Chazal say Kayom Azeh means a certain kind of day. It was a unique day for the Egyptians. And there's a machloikis in the Medrash, or two days in the Medrash. What was the nature of that unique day? One day it says that it was a day of celebration. And they used to go to the river, to the Nile. This was some religious ceremony that everybody went to. The other day it says they went to the theater, to the circus, whatever. They went to the arena. Yoim tzechoik, yoim eid shalohem, sheholchu kulam lebeis avodazara. Amra, ein li yom hogun li zokik li yosef ka yoim hazeh. She says, I'm sick, and I can't go with you, and she stays behind. And of course, Yosef is not involved in their Avodah Zarah and in their celebrations. He also stays behind. So what happens is, now, here we have the most remarkable machloikas, maybe in all of Medrash, about Yosef. What is the definition of Lasos Melachto? Why is he now in the house? Now he knows that no one else is around because he knows that everybody left. He also knows in the next Perek in Mishlei, Perek Zayin, we're going to have a description of the Zayna, which is interesting. There's a lot of that kind of description throughout Mishlei. And particularly, we had this Perek also, right here. But the Zayin and the Perek Zayin describes how she tells this man who she tries to entice that my husband is away. And not only is my husband is away, as the Goyin is Masber over there, very clearly, my husband is away, and I know where he is, and the Mela, I know how long he's going to be there, and he took his money with him. So the Goyin explains in a very simple, balabatisha sort of way, that what does it mean that my husband took his Tzvar Kesef with him? What is that Negeya? So he says there's no, in other words, he has all that he needs, he's not coming back, because he didn't forget his keys. Understand? In other words, I know clearly that he's gone. I know for how long he's gone. And I know that he's not coming back. And the Mela, I know that it's totally safe. So here you have such an episode. So you have a machloikas Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, chad omar malach doi mamish. He was very attentive to his activities, and there was something to do. He had to come back and work on the computer. V'chad omar lasis tzrochov ima. Remarkable thing that the Nisayon grabbed Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik, the one who remains Yosef HaTzadik. Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Hey Omid Beis, when the Gemara speaks about the different Nisyonos in learning Torah, so the Gemara says that the Yetzirah grabs you, and then you say to the Yetzirah, you have a bigger Yetzirah, or we say to the person who tainis that my Yetzirah got hold of me and I couldn't learn. Like, I'm too poor, and I have to. I can't focus. I can't concentrate. I'm starving. So you say, are you worse off than Hillel? And it tells the famous story of Hillel and the window. And then the Rebbe Elazar ben Charsam, are you so rich that you couldn't attend to the Torah because you attended to your business activities? Are you then richer than Rebbe Elazar ben Charsam? And finally, it comes to the person who was beset by his Yetzer Hara. Are you then more beset by your Yetzer Hara than Yosef HaTzadik? So this Yetzer, according to one man, the Omer at least, is something that allows him to contemplate, Lamaisa, contemplate the possibility of being with her. So what stops him? Very famous Chazal, Dmus Diuknoi Shel Aviv. That gets me back to what I said before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your father is Miss Abel, I'm going to be Megare B'cho Es Hadov. So he has the Nisayon, and he can only be saved by the Nisayon by reconnecting to the father that is Miss Abel for him. The Must Yukno Shel Aviv Ra. And that is the other opinion. Kiddi Issa B'Masecha Saita Daf Lamed Zayin. So, of course, what happens is Vatispeseyu B'Vigdoi Leimor Shichva Imi. He runs for his life. By the way, the Loshon Vayonos Vayetze, Vayonos already, what would it have been if it would have said just Vayonos Hachutza? Nothing would be missing. Of course, if you're running Hachutza, if you're escaping Hachutza, then you are running, then you are going out. So what's the Vayetze Hachutza? So apparently the Vayonos is up here, before the Vayetze Hachutza. And then, Vatanach Bigdo Etzla Adbo Adonov El Beiso. She leaves the Beged, and she waits for her husband. Vatadaber Elov Kadvar Ma'ela, Leimor Bo Elai Ho'ever Evri Ashavei Salonu Litzachek Bi. So it's all your fault, and he is... Rashi, very interesting, tries to make sure that we don't make the mistake of reading the pasuk that you brought the evet lanu letzachik bi. She says, take a look. Bo elai ho evet letzachik bi. Which evet? The evet ashehevei salonu. So she's not implicating him because she wants to completely implicate Yosef, black stock and barrel. But nevertheless, if you wouldn't have brought him in to manage your household, I wouldn't have had this problem. Of course, Baharimi Koliva Ekra is a little absurd for the simple reason that there was no one in the house. Because everybody had left. Vayi Kishmoa Adonov, Rashi points out also from the Chazal that she picked the perfect time for this when they were having intimate relations, she with her husband, and so therefore he would be very, very agitated and aggressive. means kadvar ma'ela. Vayi kishma the others the very star shed the very lovely more kadvar ma'ela also the avdecha vayi char apo vayi kach adonai yosef also vayi tneyu al beis asoa kom asher sire hamelach asurim vayi sham the beis asoa. I just wanted to mention a few words of the Medrash in conjunction with this story that we have, besides what we've already seen from Rashi. Vayi kahayoyim hazeh vayovoy ve'ein ish mi'anshe aboyis efter beisei shal oisei ha'ish mishtayir v'loy ish. Is it at all possible that there was not a single person in the household? Rav Yehuda v'Rav Nechemya. It's a very interesting. Sometimes you have a machloikis and you understand the machloikis is perspectives, is insights into the lashon of the pasuk. Sometimes it's insights, like for example, yesh darshan l'shvach v'yesh darshan l'gnai. There's a certain perspective. The Torah is telling you a comparison. So what is the bador hazeh? It's a description that limits, or it's an description that expands. You know, even in such a dor, or bador hazeh only. So you can understand that there's a problem in the pasuk that needs to be resolved, a remez in the pasuk that needs to be understood, and you see the makoris for a machloikas. The only purpose here is to explain one thing, because that's the kasha. What's the kasha? Why is there no one in the house bichlal? How could it ever be? So Reb Yehuda and Reb Nechemya have a machloikas. What was going on then? What's the pshat? Reb Yehuda Aimer Yoim Nibul Shel Nilus Haya V'holchu Hakol Lirois V'huloi Halach. Reb Nechemya Aimer Yoim Te'atrein Haya V'holchu Hakol Liroisoi V'huloi Halach. Elo V'yovoi Habaisa Lassis Melachtoi Lachshev Cheshbeine Shel Rabbi. So I don't want to dwell upon it, but I just find it fascinating that there could be a machloikas. So what are they? They're not interested in why everybody left. That's for sure. What's it negeya? They left for this reason or they left for that reason, as long as there's no one in the house. What they're emphasizing is the v'huloi halach. V'huloi halach. What is the nekuda of v'huloi halach? And I leave it up to you to think it through. What is it, the difference, whether it was the day of celebrating the Nile or a day that they went for their entertainment, Yom Te'atrin Hoya, the Holcha HaKoler also was the Super Bowl. And everybody was off and running. Reb Shimon, Vayova Lassus Malachta, Lachshev Cheshboinus Shal Rabbi. Reb Shimon Nachman Oimer Lassus Malachta, Vadai, Ela Ve'ein Ish, Bodakas Atzmai, Veloy Motza Atzmai Ish. Dover Acher, Nimtocha HaKeshes V'Chozra. Very fascinating. Every one of these shitas is pointing out that when it says the Ein Ish Baboyis, it's talking about Yosef himself also. What does it mean, Ein Ish? That he wasn't a man. So the question is, what does that mean? And here again, there's a machlokes almost in opposite directions. But it's vice ois that they're trying to tell you that there was an incredible nisayon that he was struggling with. And that's, of course, Reb Yitzchok's Shita. There are three opinions here. And then there's the statement, Ikunin shel Aviv Ra'a v'tzonan domoy. Reb Yitzchok Oman is Pazer Zaroi v'yotza derech tziparnov. This is the Chazal that implies that it was Roy to have 12 children like the Shvatim, and in the end he only had 2, and the 10 were lost on account of the fact that the Zera, however they explain it, went Derech Tziparnov. This is an incredible moment of Nisayon where the self-control itself causes some measure of damage. So that's the opinion of Rav Yitzchak. So there are three opinions going level after level of how much into the Nisayon Yosef was. And the first level says, Ein Ish. Bodak es atzmei v'loi motza ish. He wasn't a man. What does it mean he wasn't a man? He didn't have the normal feelings of a man towards this woman because he had this incredible control. The other day it says, no, not quite. But, nimtucha hakeshes v'chazra. Like when you pull back the bow. Everyone understands the remez to this. Don't have to spell it out in public. But v'chazra, but then like the bow becomes back to, doesn't have, it's not taught anymore, T-A-U-T, it's not hard, it eases up. And the last one is, Nispazer Zaro v'yotzadera tzipar. There's three different levels of how far the Nisayan went. Obviously it doesn't do anything. Rav Masna Amar, Ikunin shall aviv ra'a b'tzonan domoy. It's hard to know if this is a fourth Mandi Omar, meaning that every one of those say that as much as the Nisayan was, but he managed in the end on his own to deal with it. And this Mandi Omar says that it needed the Ikunin Shel Aviv Ra, otherwise it was B'sakana that he would completely succumb. D'chsiv Misham Roya Evan Yisrael Mi Asa Kain. So in other words, the idea that he comes from such a makor did not allow him to do what otherwise he would have actually continued to do. Interesting. Vayonos means to run away. The Medrash is asking the same question that I asked you a moment ago. So what is the Vayetza Chutza adding? The Teretz says, Vayetza Chutza is a remez, says this Medrash, to the Vayetza Yisoy HaChutza, that he has a Chus Avos. This is not the same as Zivikun in Ra. Zivikun in Ra is a personal conscious awareness, a confrontation with his father. That's what we call siyata nishmai. So the fact that he was able to be yotze achutza, so this Mandi Omar says, it's the schus avos. Interesting. Shimon ishkatoroin Omar bischus atzmosov shel Yosef nikra hayam li Yisrael hadohu dechsiv hayom ro'o vayonos bischus vayazov bigdoi biyodo vayonos. Chazal tell us that there's a connection between Yosef and the Hayom Ro of Ayonos. It could be very simply that this idea that the Teva is able to go against itself, because the Teva of water is to be what it is and to flow in a certain direction, and that would drown the people, that it could split up in half is against its essential nature. Ma'ara Vayonos. So Hayom Ro Vayonos is Bizuchus, that he broke his nature, that he was able to break his nature Lagam. And the Medrash continues, Bizchus Vayaz Bigdavyod Vayonos Vatikrol Anshe Beso. The Medrash continues, Nosna Isai Befihem Shel Kulam. Vatikrol Anshe Beso means that she was making Yosef Shmutz in the eyes of whoever she could talk to. The entire household was set up against Yosef. She took the beged itself and she was mechabek and menashik. That's how great her taiva was for the yifei toya of yifei mare. Vahi Adoinov, he came back, hadvorim ha'ele, rababo omer b'shas tashmish. Right? So that is the Maisa. So we would think that he was completely misled. The very famous Chazal continues in this Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that he told Yosef, and we wonder why didn't he put Yosef to death, Arayus. The Teretz says he knew the truth. So you could know the truth for one of two reasons. Either because you know who your wife is, which is also quite possible, and who knows what previous histories there were with her, or because he understands that Yosef's integrity is so impeccable that such a story is not possible. So there he says, Yida ano, that's in Targum Lashon, but Yodeya ani, the less hu minoch, that a child that she will have is not going to be from you, because it's impossible that you had an episode with her. Elo shalola arvev pisolas bivni. Right? So it says here, Shalai Pashata Bedavar, Elohi Hit Ascha, Vafilu Lahaya Bedina Likade Lahitzi Miliban Shalbriya is Ani Miyasrecha. So I know that she tried to seduce you, and I know that it didn't happen, and I know that the child is not yours, but I have to make sure that the world doesn't talk. So Memela, he throws him into the dungeon. The Maisa with Yosef and Eishes Potifa can be understood in a whole variety of levels. But the reason that I mentioned it is not just because it happens to be coincidentally the Parsha of this Shabbos, but also because the side of the Zahirus. Everybody always asks, you know, what can I take out of a Parsha? It's probably unlikely that someone will fall upon us the way Eishes Potifar did on Yosef, and that kind of nisayon probably would never present itself. So the Maisa, what can you learn from such a thing? So if you take a look in the Mishlei, the pasuk chavdal lishmorcha me Eishes ra mechalkas loshoin nachriya. So you know that you have chemda and taiva. Now we go all the way back to the first perek of Mishlei, and many times over in perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph, he starts with his great chiluk between the koyach ha-ta'avoni and the koyach ha-ka'asoni, which we spoke about many times. And he continues in Perek Beis, and in Perek Dalet, and in Perek Yud Beis, and many times over. And you have it, a constant theme running throughout the Biur HaGro in Mishlei, and he also mentions it elsewhere as well, in this Pirush on Yeshayahu, and so on. When he started, he says there are two kinds of Yetzer Hara, just to refresh our memories. There's the Yetzer Hara, which he calls Ta'avoni, Tov Aleph Vav Nun Yud, Ta'avoni, and the Yetzer Hara that he calls Ka'asoni, Kof Chof Ayin Samach. Now, Ka'as, normally we understand, I mean, Taiva is Taiva, desire, the physical desire, the desires of the flesh. It doesn't have to be necessarily with the women. It could be eating is also a desire of the flesh. What basically I would describe as the natural instincts of the behemoth. So to the extent that we are compelled by these instincts, it's called the koyach ha-ta'avoni. What is the koyach ha-ka'asoni? What does it have to do with anger? So he doesn't mean anger, in the sense that a person gets angry and yells at somebody. You know, koyach ha-ka'asoni is the koyach that I would say is a human kind of instinct. It's something that only human beings have. And what is it, ultimately? I would say that koach ha'asoni is a striving for power. Notice, if somebody would want to pick one word that would explain what the Goyin intends by koach ha'asoni, I wouldn't use the word anger, I would use the word power or control. To lord it over. Now, koach ha'asoni includes many things. And certainly the analogy that the Goyin in that first perek makes right away in the Aseres HaDibros spells it out. He says that the koyach of the Ka'asoni is emphasized in Lo Sirtzach. The koyach of the Ta'avoni, of course, is emphasized in Lo Sinov. Now, you have Loisignoiv also, and so on. You have, but in all of the different kinds of Yitzarim, sometimes there's a blend, as I will try to mention in a moment. But the Kayach HaKa'asoni is a Kayach of trying to take what does not belong to you, of lording it over others, of killing somebody. This is all the same Yisoid. You know, that I'm the only one that's left. It's basically also a form of Redifas HaKayach. So you're in the way. So people can be in the way on many different levels. So you have kina and taiva and kavod. So here you're mentioning three different nekudos. The truth is that kina has the koyach ha-ka'asoni to a fault, without an admixture of the koyach ha-ta'avoni. And the reason I say this is because kina eats the person up himself. So in other words, there isn't in kina a filling of the bowels. You know, you don't have a geschmack of feeling with kina. Kina eats you up. The taiva, kina taiva, taiva is taiva. That's the koyach hataiva. Kavod is fascinating because kavod is a combination of kina and taiva. Kavod is something that does not have any substance. And I don't know what today's animal experts are saying, because every Machlokes and Dunderstick, you know, Chazal used to say, if you want a certain midah, you go to the chasul for this midah, and you go to another animal for another midah, leichel hanamola atzel, we learned earlier. You know, and they used to laugh, what kind of animals have midahs? And now, animals don't have to have midahs. Animals have tremendous intelligence. An animal is some animals, eventually they'll find that animals are much smarter than we are. But the bottom line is that animals do not have that redifas hakavod concept, because not only is it a higher inyan, but it requires the human nekuda of kina. And the idea that I have less than you and I want what you have. So that leads ultimately to Ritzicha. The first episode of the Torah, Kayin and Hevel, spells that out very clearly. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Haloyim Seitiv says, Vimloy Seitiv LaPetzachatas Roibetz. You're completely free to be as successful in serving me as Hevel is. So what do you have kindness to him that I'm not accepting your carbon? But El Kayin El Mechosa Loishah, Vayichar Le Kayin Miyoid. Vahi biyosem basada, vayokam kayin el hevel achiv vayahargei. So the kol demei achichot tzorkim elai is the koyach ha-ka'asoni of loisirtzach, but ultimately it comes from kina, and kina and taiva merge in the desire for kavod. I told this to you 100 times already, that somebody who was honored, and he was very honest, not necessarily as honest as Yosef, but honest enough. And he got up and he said he doesn't understand why there's no birchas hananin on the kavod that he was getting at this dinner, because it's so geschmack. So kavod has that ability. So what's the difference? You see, it's a very interesting thing. Even while the person is getting kavod, it's still not enough. The different taiva replenishes itself. Why? Because once the body is quieted, it's quiet. Once my stomach is full, after that, it's what's called achila gasa. In fact, it's lehefech. If I have to eat more, it's detrimental. It's something that I don't want, bedavka. My desire is to run away from the food when it's in excess. No matter how much I gorge on the food, eventually comes a point. Kavod, there's never a limit. So kavod has that koyach ha-tavani, but unlike taiva, it doesn't have any moment of respite. It's never enough. Same thing is true of a number of other midos that merge the tavoni and the kasoni together. So going back now to the psukim that you have here. So he says in the pasuk, so the pasuk says, Lishmar chom e'eshes ra, echal kas loshon achriya, al kach meid yofya bilivavecha, val tikochacha ba'afapeha. So the Goyin says, Al tachmid yofya b'livavecha. So let's go first to the beginning. The shmorcha me'eshes ra, hi hachemda, shehi hanukva shel hara, k'mo shekosavnu l'malo. He already expressed in the second perek, it's in Pasuk Tezayin, we learned it once, she'eino maniach lo lishon, v'rodef tomid achar havle ha'olam. Ein loy hanoa mamish afilu ba'olam hazeh. V'chein nikra eishes ra, she'ein ba'toiv klal. And mechalekes, she'hi loshen achriya, mechalkas, excuse me, loshen achriya, hi ha'taiva she'nikreis nachriya. V'zu ha'taiva yesh lo chalkas peh, ki hi ma'res atzma la'odam ka'oyev, loses loy tanuge olam hazeh. So when a person has certain desires, a person is always chasing after. For example, a person wants to possess money. Again, you have this nekuda, because having something Ayev Kesef, Lo Yizba Kesef. So how is it that that taiva for Kesef is Lo Yizba Kesef, when the taiva for food is, of course, Yisaveya? And the same thing, taiva Arayis, eventually Yisaveya. Again, for a later day, but Lemaisa right now, Yisaveya. But Ayev Kesef, there's never enough. The answer is because Kesef transforms into a Redifas HaKavod. When you have X amount of money, there's always someone else who has more money. And when you have X amount of money, you always get a certain measure of recognition, but there's always more recognition to be gotten. So the Redifa for this particular kind of satiation is a perpetual Redifa. It never stops. So he says that is the description of Eishes Ra and the difference between Eishes Ra and Nochriya. Because Eishes Ra means there's no good in it at all. It never makes you satisfied. Now, neither of them are good, but he's describing the different kinds of Yetzaharas. So there's one Yetzahara that at least lets you stop, and there's another Yetzahara that never lets you go. Al tachmed yofya b'livavecha, hu neged achemda, l'chein omar al tachmod. V'omar yofya b'livavecha, ki achemda ein lo pituyim v'chel kaspe, ak sh'odom chomed me'atzmai, machmas shekitzosa nitzrach mi'od, v'farnes es atzmo uvnei veso. V'hu nimshach al yedei ze el ha'moysa, v'roidev tomid v'oimer, sh'akol hu tzarech lo, b'chdei sh'ye yochol lilmoid v'lavid es Hashem berevach v'lozun ishto yuvonov. V'lochein omar al tachmoid me'atzmecha yofyo kloimar ha'moysa rois. Bilvovecha b'shnei yitzarecha b'yetze toiv u'b'yetze hara loimar she'gam ze nitzrach la'avid es Hashem. Ba'al tikocha chokila ha'taiva yesh bituyim v'chel kasper, v'chein al tikocha chokloimar, shehilo tika choyscha, ba'af ha'peho, ki ha'taiva hi anukva shel ha'mirma, shemare toiv lo'odom. So what is he saying over here? He's saying gvaldike teiris. He says there's certain things that you really can't ever justify. A person has desires, and these desires are obviously not beneficial to him. These desires do not have a tzad ha-toiv that can then be exaggerated into a tzad ha-ra. They're simply desires. However, there are certain instincts which are justifiable because there's a part of them that in fact is legitimate. And when something is legitimate, the thin line, what did the Rebbe Rabbunim say? People think there's a tremendous distance between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, between Gan Eden and Gehenim, I mean. Between Gan Eden and Gehenim. And he says, V'kama k'chut asayra. L'havdu bein atame bein atar, V'kama k'chut asayra. You just have to cross the line. So unlike the physical desires of a person, which do not necessarily have any justification to begin with, the taivas hamamon, the desire to acquire, has a justification at the level of providing for your family, providing for yourself, and the justification is that adarabba va'adarabba, this will let me learn in peace. And that is the beginning of the end, because the Yetzer Hara has already inspired him to feel that this is a worthwhile thing. Nevertheless, says the Goyim, don't get me wrong, as if to say, it says, b'chol avavecha b'shnei yitzarecha, you have to have a shtickle yetzer for these things, because otherwise you won't have a normal life at all. She'gam zeh nitzrach la'avodas Hashem. So the argument that it's nitzrach la'avodas Hashem is not being denied. What's happening is that that argument is being co-opted by the yetzer hara to push the person further. It's very interesting. The Rambam, when he speaks about in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Gimel, and we've mentioned this also many times, the Rambam says that a person should never say, I will acquire Torah im ha-mamon v'ha-kavod ka-achas. In other words, the Rambam is implying this particular nekuda. What happens is like this. The person first says, there are certain basics that I need. in order to manage, in order to survive, in order to prevail. Those basics are very legitimate. So I, what about the argument of Achzorim al bnei beisoy ka'orev? And what about the argument of Pas ba'melech tolchal? Or what about the argument of Chochma shalomadati ba'af? So the answer is, that is for Yechidei Skula. But for normal people, they have to have a certain normal kind of life. And if they don't, then their life is in disarray and they're discombobulated all the time. So they can't concentrate, they can't focus, they don't have the time. And in the end, it's Yosef Chora Behefzeido. That's how the argument begins. So therefore, the person goes out and he is challenged to acquire just enough to have a normal kind of life. The truth is, Rabbi Shmuel says, V'asafta d'gonecha hanig b'hem minig derech eretz, is saying that this is legitimate for most people. And as the Mefarshim say, particularly the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, but others as well, harbei osu k'Reb Shim ben Yochai v'lo also b'yodom, is because it was harbei. Most people cannot handle that level, even though it might be an ideal, but only people who can handle the ideal, for them it's an ideal. For everyone else, it might even be a Yetzirah telling them, go to the extreme, because then he knows that you'll get smashed against the rocks. Because it's something you can't do. So therefore, the normal, the minig derech eretz, is really for them the ideal. And that's as far as they should go. But once you have that machshava, so the question is, what happens next? The Yetzirah says to the person, listen, it's very nice that you have a floor because you own a house. But shouldn't your floor have a nice carpet? It's very nice that you have a jalopy, but shouldn't you have a fancy car? And that's how it goes. So the person responds and says, but if that's the case, what's going to be with Torah? So the Yetzer Hara says the Rambam convinces the person on every level, even though he's talking about the highest level. But the truth of the matter is, it's on every level. Because the Yetzer Hara will always raise the stake enough that you should not be bothered with Torah altogether. That's the eventual goal. And from there, it's downhill all the way. Because without Torah, there's nothing left. So the Yetzer Hara convinces the person piecemeal to keep chasing after a little bit more. Because you need this and you need that. And what happens when that's over and you really don't need anything anymore because you have it already? You have the car. Kavod. That's what I always said. That the Rambam introduces kavod not as a separate entity. That's why the Rambam, in the middle of nowhere, starts talking about divrei Torah are not nimsa in Balei Gaiva. So the question is, avadit is, it's important to talk about what kind of vessel you have to be for Torah, but why dafka there in that context and in that perek? So the answer is, the Rambam is not going off on a tangent. The Rambam is basically describing that the kind of person that has gaiva, he's going to be the person that will never be satisfied with all the money that he has, because he still wants more. Why? Because he's raidif kavod. And the raidif kavod, this is something that can never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. A person's prominence can never be satisfied. A person's importance can never be satisfied. But if a person has anava, so then he doesn't chase after these things because for him, they have no value. So divrei Torah are nimtza in a person like the water goes from a higher place to a lower place and collects dafka down below. So too a Talmud Chacham. That is the midah that keeps the Yetzer Hara of Kavod at bay, which prevents him from keeping the level of desire to go on and on into outer space, simply because this person does not have a control anymore. He has more than he could possibly need. Where's the justification for anything more than that? The Teretz is Kavod. I want to be, like I always say, the Donald Trump. Why do I pick on him? Because when somebody wants his name in every single building and complex and playground and whatever it is that he does, then you see where the Nakuda lies. So that's why it can never be enough. It has to be the Donald, the Afashtes, the Donald. To me, the Donald is the most absurd thing. It's not like to me, Abai Verov. The Donald, the Afashtes, Abadasidas, because covered batsim is silly. There's a tremendous silliness. You know why it's silly? Because he's going to die. everybody's going to die. And if you're going to die, then covet is shtus v'hevel. Shtus v'hevel. So it's what you can do with your money. So then do. Sell all those buildings and save the world. So what are you building another building? Why another complex? Why another $1 billion? What's wrong with having already $100 billion? Same hospital, with the same nurses, with the same heart attack. It's the same mortuary. Of course, it's a different kind of casket. That I'll be masking. Masking is a different casket. So that's what he says over here. So he says that the Yetzer Hara in this Nekuda starts by telling you you need it, and he's right. But the Yetzer Hara uses that as a wedge to burrow deep inside of you and demand that you should constantly ask for more. Now the next pasuk chavav, ki ba'ad isha zona ad ki kalochem, the eishes, pasuk chavav, yeah, the eishes ish nefesh yekara totsud. That's what the pasuk says. Be eishes ish nefesh yekara totsud. It, you know, tzeda. Tzeda is one of the malachas on Shabbos. You are hunting and you are trapping the nefesh yekara. Who? Eishes ish. So what is that all about? In the mashal. Zok de gra, and then we'll have to stop after chavav, because we ran out of time. Ki ba'ad isha zoyna ad kika lechem, zo neged ha-taiva, vuhu hefach ha-taira. Moshe kasavnu l'malu, k'moshe kosu b'medrash. Ad shata mevakish yikonis toil toich meyecha. We learned this, we emphasized this a great deal, b'shas maise, in the second perek. Until you ask that Torah should enter into your stomach, make sure b'akesh lo yikonis achilu ushasiya b'soich meyecha. He wants to know what's the ba'ad isha zoyna ad kika lechem. V'chein oimer sheba'ad isha zoyna yovo ad kika lechem kloimar. Shlo yiyya yodeya afilu halocha achas. Shalechem hu ha-toyra. Kamo she'omru b'gemara, asida isha shetitol kika shol truma. It's going to come a time, famous gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. You know, we have that song, Hine yomim boyim, right? Lo yroev la'lechem, b'shlach li'roev ba'aretz, lo yroev la'lechem, lo tzoma la'mayim, kim l'shmoyez dibri Hashem. And everybody sings it with such incredible gusto and enthusiasm, like this is the most wonderful thing. Where is the hunger going to be? Only l'shmo dibri Hashem. And Chazal say it's going to be a time that nobody will know anything, and a woman is going to go and ask, what's the halacha with this or with that? And nobody's going to be able to answer her. It's not going to be a rav, la'lechem or tzoma la'mayim, that they'll have. But it'll be a tzoma l'shmoyez dibri Hashem. Nobody will know anything at all. So that's the Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis that this goyin is referring to. Asido isha shetito kiko shal truma v'tel chabes hamedrash v'tishal im tmeya v'im ta'ira v'lo yiyu yoidin. So how does he interpret the pasuk? Ki ba'ad isha zoyna ad kika lecha means that if you want to know the inroads, it means, not pshat, that if you're going to follow your Yetzer Hara and follow those taivas, you won't be zoicha to the third Perek Keser Torah of the Rambam, Hilchus Talmud Torah. You're not going to know anything, because the nature of the Yetzer, it just propels you and pushes you and pulls you away until finally you abandon learning Torah altogether. That's what he's saying. And then he says, Ve'eshes ishi ha-chemda, that's taiva, this is chemda. Shehi eishes hara hayodua hanikra ish. Nefesh yikara totsud. He learns that eishes ish means the wife of the Yetzer. The dinos is like a companion to the Yetzer. That's chemda. The Yetzer is described as the isha zayna. This is described as the eishes ish. She has a companion. Eishes hara hayodua hanikra ish. Nefesh yikara totsud shu hefecha mitzvus. V'hi nitzreches kitzas. V'chein oimer afilu ha-nefesh yukara shu bal teira v'yira hi totsud b'mitzudosa shemaralo shi nitzreches li'yishuv ha-olam ul'avodes Hashem v'toiv teira im derech eretz. V'om ha-nefesh yukara ke'inyon, as they say, what is the pshat nefesh yukara u'b'mitzosecha tirdof nafshi. He's connecting the word nefesh specifically to asiyas hamitzvahs. The tain is like this. The Yetzirah can attack you in two completely separate ways. But the way that is most invasive or the most difficult to fight against is where the Yetzer takes off because it already has a springboard. And what is that springboard? The positive aspects of the very same midah that the Yetzer is exaggerating. Because a person does have to have a life, and a person does have to have a family, and a person has to have a place in the world, and a person has to have some measure of Olam Hazeh to be able to function. Now, again, as I said before, this is not a stira to what the Rambam is saying of Pas Bamelach Tocha Maimah Masura Tishta. But no one is the Vilna Gaon, and no one, not everyone. The Rambam says, Misha Roitzel L'Kayim Mitzvah Zukaroi V'Lios Muchtar B'Keser Torah. And then he describes people that Kemat don't exist. So what's the Pshat? The Pshat is that Torah allows, because it's Nitzchius, a tremendous range in the capacity of the people and their relationship with it. And we've spoken about it 100 times. So in the ideal structure of Pas Bamelech Tochal, a person has the opportunity to arrive at the highest madregas, and that's called Keser Torah. And that person's nisyonos are not that there's a certain amount of gashmias that I need, and that's the person who's achzori livnei beisai kiyarev. So his whole netiyah is to choke that yetzer hara at the gate. He doesn't allow it, that opening. But the regular person, you and I, we have that capacity to entertain the Yetzer Hara precisely because there's a positive aspect to its nature which we need to live and to function. So this particular sakana is a Revis Lanu in a very, very different kind of way because it's familiar to us and on some level at least beneficial as well. So that's what the Gros says. The Gros says that the Eisha Sishi Achemda is Nefesh Yikara Totsud Shehu Hefech HaMitzvus Vehi Nitzreches Ketzas. The reason he speaks, by the way, about Torah versus Mitzvus here also is because Torah has the capacity of total abstraction. Mitzvus, as he described earlier, remember, mitzvus are always connected to the earth, like he was describing certain mitzvus are mamish from the earth, like the Esrig and the Luluf, and the Sukkah. So what he means is, and interesting, that provides a Yom Tov, which is Iker emphasis is Amunah, which is fascinating. But mitzvahs anchor you. And mitzvahs have to anchor you, because we are human. So on that simplest and most basic level, mitzvahs are really the reflection of our need to have that Yetzer Hara. Because if we were totally spiritual beings, we wouldn't need mitzvahs. And I think that's where other religions went completely off. Because the idea that tzaddik be'emunaso yichya means, and that's enough, never worked. Never worked. Because the anchor is missing. So irony of ironies, what happened instead? So they got involved in what we might call artificial minhagim, and you end up with the holiday that we have coming up, which is the most absurd gashmiyistika distortion, lishitosam, of that tzaddik be'emunaso yichya concept. The Teretz is because it's not shayach otherwise. Because the only thing that can take the emuna and anchor it is asiyas hamitzvahs. And we have to be bound mitzvahs hand and foot. That's exactly what the Torah is about, and that's why there are so many other mitzvahs and so many drabbonons and isurim upon isurim upon isurim and chiyuv mitzvah sasei upon mitzvah sasei. And kulei hai v'ulai. But when we enmesh ourselves in this anchor, what we're really doing is concretizing the emuna, concretizing the ruchnius. But when we concretize the ruchnius, we have to have a measure of gashmius. So every ruchni, the concession that is the whole raison d'etre of mitzvahs is that the ruchni needs the gashmi. But if we need the gashmi, that opens up a door for the Yetzer Hara. That is a different kind of door. So the door that attacks the ruchni and the door that attacks the gashmi is a different Yetzer Hara opening. The Yetzer Hara that attacks the ruchni, you can respond to it by saying that what you're doing to me is you're taking away my entire Torah. but the Yetzirah that and I don't need you. You're totally worthless. The Yetzirah that is the Gashmi, that Yetzirah says, what do you mean I'm worthless? Of course you need me. You live with me. You breathe with me. So that I have to acknowledge. The minute I acknowledge it, the Pesach is open for me to get lost in that Yetzirah. And when I get lost in the Yetzirah, he is interpreting it as that it's unraveling the mitzvahs, because what it does is it's like an ossification of the concrete. In other words, there's no life in the mitzvahs anymore. What happens instead is that it becomes mitzvahs anoshim ulumada, because you're really elsewhere already. You're completely immersed in olam hazeh. So this is an incredible idea. The people who are in ruchnius, the Yetzirah has a trouble trapping them, but that Yetzirah is described as the Kayach HaChemda versus the Kayach HaTaiva. And the Taiva Lemaisa Maris Atzmei L'Toiv La, because to some extent you need it. You have to be in this world.